Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and everyone on the call, wherever you are and whenever you listen to this call. This is Terry Brown, and I'm a co-host of the Winfrey Monday Night BBS call. Last week we had Carla on, and Connie did a transcript, and Carla's editing it. So we should be able to put that up soon on the Spirit Channel. So if you go into the spiritchannel.com, we'll be able to see what calls we have and the audios in the transcripts, the ones that we were able to get up and done so far. It's Monday night, and today is the 13th of February. We're in a parking lot in Irvine, California. And it's a little bit chilly, and it's been raining here. And the sky's been cloudy, and we haven't seen any chemtrails. So we're happy to be with you, and I don't know what the topic's going to be tonight, because wind makes up the topic, and then I don't like to know beforehand, because the whole thing's extemporaneous. And if I knew beforehand, then I would worry about it, and I would try to figure out a script or something, maybe. And this whole thing is unrehearsed. So Wynn is rounding up the conference call. He's still working on it. My name is Terry Brown, and I've been working with Wynn since about 1984. That's roughly when I first met him. We were in the multi-level together, and he was an aspiring songwriter, and I was working as a legal secretary in Los Angeles, and we both joined the multi-level where we got to know each other, and then we went to a seminar in the Bahamas, and we happened to be walking along side by side toward the airplane rushing, and we got talking to each other. And so we got to know each other better when we were in the Bahamas. And then our friendship has continued ever since. Hold on, and we'll check and see the progress of Wynn's getting onto the call.
Yes. It's Wynn. I'm going to plug you in, all right?
He's coming on in just a minute.
Is that Doug. Hang on, I don't have the conference line on yet. Just a second, okay?
What?
I don't have the conference line. Don't go away. Put your phone to the ear for 1 minute, then I'll be back. Okay?
So you're still setting up the conference call and bringing in the conference call people. What we have is a simulcast where he is on the conference line on the telephone with people all over the world, and we are on BBS Internet Radio. So a lot of people are tuned in to the computer, to BBS radio, and then people are calling in also on the conference line. Is getting ready to join BBS call, and we'll all be together in just a minute. Here he comes.
Wynn recording.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound.
Wynn is setting up. You can hear those beeps in the background.
You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
The call is also being recorded by BBS Radio. So someone can go into BBS Radio Archives on the Internet and can
enter your PIN and
hear the audio. We've been doing it every Monday since approximately 2007. So we've done a lot of calls.
All right. We are on. We are meeting up. We are recording.
This is Wim and Terry sitting in a parking lot in Orange County on the road. And we just did a expo in Los Angeles that went really great. And I was a speaker there. Terry was, would you call you a speaker?
Yeah, I think I was a speaker too.
She was kind of a speaker. She was speaking. She was a channeler. Let me mute everybody. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate you so much for showing up and holding the space and energy for this call.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Muting everybody.
Entry and exit chimes are off.
So, I announced the topic tonight. Believe it or not, every Monday, I think, I must have run out of topics. Now I can retire. There's nothing new to say. But then I think about it, and I said, geez, we never talked about this. So, the topic is getting into the zone. Getting into the zone. I wonder if you guys, I'm going to unmute you all. I'm just curious. Do you guys know that principle? You know what I mean by getting into the zone?
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Okay, everyone's unmuted. Do you know, do you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by getting into the zone?
Sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Don't you mean the energy?
What's that?
Don't you mean feeling the energy?
Not exactly. Not exactly. I mean, that could be part of it, feeling the energy. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, if you're defining something, you could say that's what it means. But that's not exactly what I mean.
I would say in the zone would be like you are in a different stage, in a different dimension. I feel like I'm someplace else. Not
yes.
Here.
Was that Lisa who said getting?
It's synchronicity. It's you're synchronistic.
Is that
Gina?
Edna.
Edna.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and, I talked to when it was me at first.
That was you.
Yeah.
Lisa, you know I talked to somebody at the expo that loves you. You know who loves you at the expo?
Robert Perala,
right. he said, Lisa is so sweet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
In fact, Robert spent extra time being friendly to me because of you. Okay?
I told him about our call. You know, he even wanted to come in.
You know, it's interesting. This is how things work because it's triangulation of energy. And I didn't understand what that meant for a long time. But anybody understand what triangulation of energy means?
Sounds like strangling.
Strangling?
Well, being in the zone, getting back to that for a moment, when it means being synchronistic with the energies, being one and merged with the energies, I believe.
Now, that's Gina, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, yes, that's what it means. But it's like, how do you get there? What do you do to get into the zone? And, you know, if you want to do anything in the world, accomplish anything, things happen so much easier when you're in the zone. And this is an experience that I've noticed for myself for many, 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 many years. And some days I'm in the zone and some days I'm not in the zone. And noticing what I need to do to make a difference, to get into the zone. And because when we did this expo this past weekend, one of the things that happened is that both Terry and I got into the zone. Now, of course, we're in different zones. I wouldn't, like, compete with the zone Terry's in. But we both got into the zone in our own unique way. And I thought it would be a good topic because it's not about expos. It's about everything. It's about getting what you want out of life, getting what your goals are, and getting the universe to flow with you, or getting yourself to flow with the universe. Or even another way of saying it is making a flow where no flow existed. That's probably what getting into the zone means. Making a flow where no flow was. You have to start from zero and build it. If you want to create something totally unique, totally yours, and that could go from the most simple things to the most complex things. For example, I've noticed when I do these calls now, they're fairly effortless, and I don't have a lot of fear when I go into it. I go in with my mind blank, and I start talking, and somehow I've learned to have the confidence that it will come out okay, and that my being will put the words together, and I will get into a zone, and I get in it with you guys. We're all in it together, and we're all on the energy together, and it creates a flow, and when the call's over, it's on to the next thing. Because if I had to prepare for all these calls, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't be me. I don't know how. It would be like, okay, we're doing this topic tonight. Let me go study the Encyclopedia Britannica and see what they say about the zone and see what everyone in history... Now, some people do it that way, and that doesn't mean it can't be interesting. But when we first started doing these calls, I was much more self-conscious, much more feeling like, God, if I do the wrong thing, everyone's going to hang up on me. not knowing what to do. Now, I would still get into the zone, but it took longer. And I have this idea that when I get into the zone on this call, it expands the energy so that if Terry's going to channel, she automatically steps into the zone as well. And so do our sources. And it's a zone that everyone can flow in. But it's built up, not just with me, but with you. We've all been building this zone together and proving to ourselves that we can show up and participate in this energy. And, you know, sometimes you come in and you're more self-conscious when you're coming in the call at first or first listening, and then this energy comes in, and suddenly we're in the zone. Some people could say suddenly we're in oneness. Suddenly spirit is present. Well, this concept of the zone works for many, many things in life. And if you're aware of it, and if you're aware of what you have to do to get into it, maybe this will help you do better in things that you want to accomplish. Because I'm sure you all know the experience of wanting to do something, getting up in a certain day, not feeling good about yourself, not feeling worthy, not feeling up to snuff, feeling you're not good enough. And there's something you want to do that really requires your energy to be more than that. And you resist doing it because you're in that space of not feeling good enough. I think years ago, I heard a story. that was about, it was years ago when I was doing multi-level marketing, when I first met Terry, when she was doing multi-level marketing. And she used to do meetings. She would be in front of groups. And I couldn't believe how good she was when she got up in front of a group, because she was so shy and awkward by herself. I say that. And yet she would get up in front of the group, and sometimes they gave her a standing ovation. Is that right?
I thought there was a fire and everybody was going to jump up and leave.
She said that year. She thought there was a fire and everybody was going to leave, because she would talk and she would get so passionate. And I said, what's going on in this woman? How does she do this? And I think she learned that when she would...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
You know, just as I learned that if I kept showing up on these calls, they kept getting better and I kept getting better. Terry would get up in front of the group and she was passionate about the product. She believed in it. And she loved helping people. You know, in multi-level marketing, although it's a business, Terry is not capable of doing a business without caring about people. So, you know, she would never look at how much time she's spending. To give you an example, we're at this booth at the Conscious Life Expo for the last 3 days, and we're talking to people. And we were talking to people about our material, our books. We were giving out handouts for people to be interested. And we were doing these pendants that some of you got to help support the cost of the booth, because these booths are expensive. You know, sometimes it's like $1,500 for 3 days to be there. And so Terry, these people would glom on to Terry and love her, and they start talking. And they're telling her all their problems. And early on in the show, I said, "Listen, if you give me permission, I'm going to come in. I'm going to separate this because we're not going to accomplish anything. You're going to be sitting there." So I would sometimes tell people, "Excuse me, we're spending about $50 an hour to be here, and we have work to do. So if you don't mind, maybe you could give this conversation another minute, and then we'll close." And she said that was okay, because she didn't know how to disconnect from someone. It started being friendly. But what happened was, at this booth, and this is where we got into the zone. Suddenly, this magical transformation happens, and it may not stay all day. I mean, it could. If you got really good, it would stay all day. But people suddenly keep walking up to you. They're interested in you. You hardly have to even bug them. And there's this energy of co-creation around the booth. It's as if there's a vortex around the booth, and the people walk by, feel the vortex, and want to come into it. And they feel loved in that space. And when they feel loved in the space, it's really easy for them to spend money, because they're giving money to part of themselves. Some of you that make donations have that experience in the way you're supporting our work. We're you. You're us. When you support us, you're supporting part of yourself that's giving back to yourself. And so we had a lot of fun. We're still really tired today, but it was a lot of fun. And a lot of people who oftentimes I felt weren't giving me the right attention, that they didn't know what I was doing. Like, I know I'm doing something really pretty extraordinary. But when you go into these shows, and I was a speaker, people are trying to make money, and they want to be a center of attention. And oftentimes, they don't really take in what other people are doing. And in a sense, they really can't. They're busy. They didn't come there to. They're not just like somebody who paid the admission and wants to see everything. They came to bring whatever work they do into a spotlight and to get attention. And a number of them are more famous than me. And, of course, everyone knows that I wrote the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, because David Wilcock was a keynote speaker at the event. Everyone knows that. But most people don't have a clue about anything else other than that. And I always say, I'm not just as author of this book, all this other stuff was happening to me. And then it sounds like I'm trying to get attention, so I stopped trying to do that. And for whatever reason, a bunch of people who weren't paying attention to me in the past were suddenly interested in what I was doing. They were talking to me at the booth we were in. And I almost wasn't going to go because I get so frustrated with going there and feeling that feeling where I'm just identified as the author of the book, and which is only a very small part of what I do, but it's the part that's in the public. So let's take a look at selling something. Let's suppose you want to do sales. Sales is one of those occupations that if you learn how to do it, you will never, ever, ever be broke, because everyone, you know, in any business, a salesperson is the most valuable asset, because the salesperson causes the business to grow. And any business can grow more if they have more salespeople, because there's no limit to customers. Normally, I won't say never, but in most businesses, there's no limit to customers. Like if you're selling roofing, people who need new roofs, how many houses are there in your neighborhood, in your city? Loads. And if somebody knows how to get a customer that needs a new roof, they can always add to somebody's business. But it's not a job. You have to create the business. And part of doing that is, of course, learning about what you're selling, being an expert on it. You can't bypass that step. And the other part is getting into the zone. And one of the ways you get into the zone is by learning how to do it and not care about the results. There was a book I read years ago. I think it was called Looking Out for Number One. And the guy's name is Robert Ringer. And now I get emails from him, and he's kind of conservative, and I'm not sure I like his all his points of view. But he had some really amazing points in that book. And one of them was, a lot of salespeople have the wrong approach, because when they go in to see a client, they pump themselves up and say, I'm going to be positive. I'm going to make this sale. And statistically, you don't usually sell to everyone that you present to. You sell to a percentage of people. So when you pump yourself up as if you're going to make the sale, and then you don't, there's this big energy drain. There's this licking of your wounds. There's this going home and recovering. Now, if you assume you're not going to make the sale, but if you talk to 10 people, you will make one sale, then you can look at each one of those attempts as one step closer to making the sale. So you turn it into a game. And it doesn't matter whether anyone says yes or no. You just make sure they know that you have something. And you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. And boom, you'll make your sale the 10th time, or could be the 5th time. Then it'll be another 10 times. And the interesting thing is, when you're detached like that, you don't put any psychic pressure out on anyone. You are just neutral. I think one of the worst things a salesperson does, one of the most self-defeating things, is putting psychic pressure out. To try to convince somebody to buy something. And nobody gets convinced to buy something. People must convince themselves. They just need to know the facts. They need to know what it is, how it's going to be useful to them, how much it costs, and it really helps if they like you. So if you're putting pressure out on somebody, the chances are they're going to feel the pressure and they're not going to like you. People spend money from people they like. If you study your own patterns, how you are, you can see exactly how it works. Think of where you spend money. Think of the people that you like and how it's easy to give them money compared to people that you're hostile towards, people that are putting pressure on you. If you go into a restaurant and the waitress is constantly trying to upsell you, wouldn't you like dessert? Wouldn't you like this? Wouldn't you like that? And she's acting like she cares, but underneath, you know, she's been instructed to get them to spend more money, and you start to mistrust her. So it's about trust. It's about not caring. Caring but not caring. And then, as you keep doing that, something magic happens, and people stop saying no to you. They start saying yes. Did you ever think that you wanted a partner, someone, and you're alone? And there's going to be this magic moment, and that person's going to pop into your life. No one knows you exist. Even that's part of selling. People have to know you exist. You have to show up in places. I remember in one reading, they told somebody, go hang out in the library. Go hang out in the art museum. Go to places where people who would be interested in the things you like are. And have a double motivation. Enjoy the environment, enjoy the art museum, enjoy the library. And keep an eye for people that you feel connection to. And walk past them, say something to them. You know, after a while, it doesn't matter. You get rejected, go to the second person, the third person. I think that you get rejected and then you think there's something inherently bad about yourself that no one likes, which is true. It's true for everybody, including me. So, yeah, we all have this part of ourselves that is, like, difficult. It's unlikable. And you can learn to realize that's not just you and that just move through it. You don't have to let that be an obstacle. It's just part of an illusion in your programming. And another time in my life of getting in the zone, when I used to play music, when I first started getting up in front of audiences, I was very shy. And I was writing my own songs, and I put all my vulnerability in the songs, and I would start playing them, and I would feel rejected for about 20 minutes. And no one was listening to my lyrics. No one was understanding what I was saying. And I was just sitting there playing and feeling invisible. And then gradually, I learned how to say things to an audience that no matter how good my songs were, it didn't matter because until I paid a slight bit of attention to them, they couldn't even hear them. So I learned how to be human and start talking to them. And I remember as I was discovering that, that I would have a moment where they opened up to me and I could feel the energy of the audience. And I would get all excited and I'd say, oh my God, they're hearing me. And it, as soon as I got excited, I would lose it. I had to be totally detached to hold the energy. And then I got better and better. I think it's part of the same principle that I apply when I'm talking here. I have to be very detached. I know you're all listening to me. I know you're that I'm reaching you, but I don't think about it. I'm just in the zone, and the words come out. And each of you has that potential in your own way to make things happen, getting in the zone. But when you want to do that, you need to overcome your own obstacles, i.e., you have to do it over and over again until the resistance dissipates. Because wherever there's this kind of challenge, there is always resistance. And if you expect to succeed the first time you do it, you're most certainly, most probably, going to fail. It would be like me thinking, okay, we're talking to the Elohim. Everybody's looking for the Elohim. This is what everybody wants. And in a sense, I believe that's true. If people tuned into it, they'd say, wow, this is something I've been looking for. And that I go and do one little lecture or radio show, and I would think that Oprah would be calling me the next day. Let's put them on Oprah. Well, you know, here we are doing this for 8 years, and I'm so grateful just for every person that we touch. And it's like, Oprah's not on the air anymore, but I use her as an example. If Oprah called me, I think, of course, I would be delighted to be able to have that kind of exposure for this material. But I would take it in stride. I wouldn't get nervous. I'd just walk up and say, here I am again. And learning to have the confidence that I can go into the zone. And it doesn't mean that I'm always up. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect in my life. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means when I step into that space, the energy flows. And I think I learned this also when I was selling sunglasses. Because, and I know I did things differently than other people. And Terry used to come out with me on those events. And it was really amazing. Because, I'll give you an example. You know, I would set up, and it was early in the morning, and, you know, in the mornings, I don't always feel great. In fact, I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is not going to be a good day. I'm getting up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, you know, you're getting up, and you're going to be standing in the middle of thousands of people walking by you, and you know you're getting up on the wrong side of the bed. And there were days when I stood, and I hardly sold anything because I didn't want to be there and I didn't put any energy out. So somebody would come up to the booth on one of those days early in the morning and I would say, hey man, could you help me out? Just make me look busy. Try some of these things on. It's really early and I need to get some energy going. So they'd start trying on sunglasses. People really like to help you. It's like if you ask somebody to help you sincerely, you'd be amazed how people respond. And so they'd be trying sunglasses on, and they seemed to like a certain one. And I think we were selling them for like $12. And I'd say, listen, I got to get my day going. I need to make my first sale. Give me $5 and you can have it. And they had a big smile. They knew it was more expensive. They bought it for $5 and walked away. And then another person would come. And about after an hour of doing that, or sometimes a half an hour, it's like people kept coming up. And I didn't have to do any discounts. They were meeting the energy, and they were just throwing money on the table. And it's hard to explain what happens until you have the experience yourself. Now, of course, all of you are not going to be a salesperson, but everybody has something that they would like to accomplish in their life that getting into the zone would help them accomplish it. Now, 7:42,
minus 5 minutes.
You want to say anything from your conscious mind, Terry?
You can say no.
No, not right now.
Okay. Tell you what, let's, I have a feeling when you get into the zone, you start moving through the veil and start getting interdimensional stuff going on. Then you start getting synchronicities happening. And I thought we'd ask our sources to give us their wisdom on how we can apply this in our lives to make our lives better. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry, myself, and everyone listening, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. Right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. We create a protected space that only the positive has access to. And anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the One Infinite Creator. This is the 13th of February, 2012, and we welcome each and every caller, each and every listener, each and every person that listens to the replay line, each and every person that reads a transcript, no matter when this happens. And we are here, and we are familiar with the topic of getting into the zone. When one is able to match the energies, the volume of energy, the frequency of the communication, the tone of the communication, one moves into the, as you call it, zone of what they wish to happen and what they are making happen at that particular moment. It has something to do with the synchronization of one's attitude and energy with the surrounding. So being in the zone would be connecting with the energy that are surrounding one and being able to give and take within that framework. Do you have questions?
Yes. When one goes into the zone, gets into the zone, I'll give you another example. It's like, okay, go on a date. Everyone on their first date is going to be really self-conscious. Everyone wants to move that date into the zone. So they're really conversing. They're really communicating. They're really connecting. And, of course, it may happen sometimes, and oftentimes it won't. When somebody moves into the zone, what is happening in other dimensions at that moment?
Other dimensions back up when the frequency is multi-level. And that means that there is agreement in the higher self and in the lower layers of things. And more agreement there is, and the more the individual is behind what is going on, then it adds energies together, and the result can be bigger and more expansive. When there is harmony of intention, it adds together to make a better result. Do you have comments on this?
Do I have comments? I'm supposed to be asking questions. I'm the dummy here. do I have comments?
Have we addressed all of your questions?
Starting to. I'm trying to grasp. I know that when you're in the zone, you start to have synchronicities. You start to have magical events happen. One example of course, when I say in the zone, it means a lot of different things. Let me check the time because I don't want to go over. I want to make sure we bring this to a good close at the right time. Hang on just a second. 7:45. We got about 10 minutes. Okay. One of the most profound times that I would apply this term being in the zone for myself was when I was hitchhiking around the country. And I remember, I was pretty young at the time, and I left Berkeley and I took a backpack, and I wanted to see how the world worked. And I wanted to know if there really was a God. I remember asking myself that. I put total faith that things would work out. But I was scared when I first started. I said, I'm just this little guy with a thumb, and what if no one knows where I am? You know, it's like there was no protection in it, it felt like. And yet, probably on the first or second day, something took over that trip, and I kept meeting people. It was as if people were waiting for me. I kept meeting people in astrological cycles. It was like beyond anything I could conceive of that could happen to me up to that point. Of course, little did I know what was going to happen later, but when it was very inspiring, I would meet people, I would sleep on their couches. It felt like I was blessing everybody that I was coming across, but I had no grounding. I couldn't stop. If I stopped, it just disappeared. So I probably spent 3 years of my life doing that. And energetically, it felt like I had speeded myself up, and I was totally operating with energies off planet. That's how I look about, at it now. And that I let go of any grounding and things were just flowing. I would think of something and the radio would play the song I was thinking of, things like that. In a total harmonization between myself and my physical environment. Could you explain, from your point of view, what happened?
Yes. When one is in motion, then things flow. When one is in motion, one is ready to accept new directions, new energies, new movement. When one is stabilized in one place, then there is a grounding that occurs, and things are still in that they are more stable, but yet not ready to flow into other things. So things are much slower in that movement is much less, and that movement extends to all one's life, so that when one is in motion, then one brings things and synchronicity to them by the simple act of being able to be in a better place to encounter new things and to be able to choose new things because they're exposed to more things. That is why if someone needs a job and they get out here and begin pounding the pavement, talking to people, then they have things appear, opportunities present themselves that they have a chance to pick and choose what is the best of the opportunities or any opportunities. And the more that they put themselves out there to encounter circumstances that can be right for them possibly, the more ability they have to find something to better choose what they will be doing.
Thank you. So, in other words, if a person wanted something, it's far better to get out of their house and walk around than make phone calls all day.
We aren't saying that one necessarily needs to walk around. Being on the phone, in a sense, is putting oneself out there through the electronic media, which may also present wonderful opportunities. Looking on the internet for things one may get into may also place new world before an individual that they can choose from and encounter the sphere.
Thank you. I have found with the internet, I'm looking for something. There's an extraordinary opportunity to, like, tune into the vibration of something else. In other words, there's stores, there's this, there's products, there's so many things that you, and people, within their websites, so in one way or another, people will reveal themselves. And you can find things that you feel a connection with. And you can look through thousands of things in a day and find things you feel a connection with and have much higher opportunity of making a connection after you. It would be like if I was going to like try to be on a talk show, and I just had a list of talk shows and was calling everybody up. I might get on, but if I went to the site of the talk show host, listened to a little bit of one of his interviews, looked at his picture, and I said to myself, that guy would really like me. I know he would like me. He'd be interested in me. And then I called him. I stand far better chance of making a connection with that person. And, you know, I know this is a time period where a lot of people are having challenges with money. And if you open yourself to the idea, you can sell something. You will, there's always something that somebody needs, and there's never a shortage of jobs for selling things. Although, just don't think of yourself as a salesman, because then it sounds like you're putting psychic pressure on people to spend money. Think of yourself as a presenter. Think of yourself as having something that somebody needs if they don't even know that exists. I find this all the time. I said, geez, I could sell that. Nobody knows that exists, and if I just brought it to their awareness, they would want it. And there's so many things like that. You know, if it wasn't for salespeople, we wouldn't have electricity. We wouldn't have light bulbs. We wouldn't have so many of the things that we take for granted. And you're really a presenter. You're really somebody just bringing things to people's attention and letting them make up their mind if it's something they want or not. You know what? It's just about 7:55. If you're listening to this, you know, I have that Egyptian Connection workshop, which is really an amazing workshop. Well, I'm going to do another mailing on it. I said I was going to put it out till Valentine's Day. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, and we got all these discounts on it. And I will share some of the testimonials from people who have been changed and shifted by that workshop. And on that note, that was...
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Everybody's unmuted. Anybody have any quick question?
I think I know what you mean when this is Lisa.
Yeah.
About the zone more now. It's actually a state of confidence.
Right,
and,
but you have to build it. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. You never feel, you never, at least my experience is, like, okay, when I do these calls, they really seem effortless, but it wasn't that way at first, okay? And you have to build something. You have to build the energy. You have to do it and do it and do it and do it till you overcome all resistance. And then something snaps and everything clicks into place. Most people don't do that. They give up at the first sign of resistance.
Well, it sort of reminded me of a time I was playing a card game with my mother and her boyfriend. I think it was called Pocino. You play for pennies. And there was this cloth, not a cloth, but like a plastic. It folded like a cloth. You unfold it, and you put pennies down in specific areas. And I don't remember how to play the whole game, but the point is to win pennies, you know. And I sat there, and I just absolutely knew that I was going to win every hand. And I kept looking at my mother's boyfriend, who I got along with real well, and I said, well, they're mine. I'm getting them. And I just acted cool like that throughout the game. And he started laughing at first, going, Lisa. And then he was going, Lisa, almost like he was getting mad. And little did he know that I had taken this course called Silver Mind Control. Anybody's heard of that? I had taken that, you know, so to talk about positive thinking. It was a lot deeper than just positive thinking. And boy, did I learn some things. And I won every single hand. I said, I'm telling you, the game is mine.
All right, Lisa, we're taking you to Las Vegas with us. Okay, we better close because they're going to want to put their next show on. But thank you all for being here, and thank you all for supporting this, and thank you to our sources, and thank Terry, and thank all the people volunteering, Bogdan in Sweden, Gary in Redondo Beach, Edna in, oh my God, Skunomish, Washington.
Quinn, you need to tell me how to get to the zone more.
Okay, call me later. I'm going to cut this off so that CBS and Connie, oh yeah, Connie and Gina and who else? If I'm forgetting you, Cindy. If I forgot anybody, I really didn't forget you. I just had temporary Alzheimer's. And we'll see you next time.
Stop conference recording, press 1. Your conference recording has stopped.